Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for you and Rankin. And today, the show, it's Ewan and me, and that's, I think that's cool. I'm Ewan? Totally up for doing one-on-one shows. Ian, how are you?
I'm great, fam. I'm great, my friend. As always, been a busy week. Spent the day fixing labs that have gone slightly mad, which was the usual amount of head scratching and things and trying to write scripts to fix stuff and then bashing your head against the wall with the scripts. But
Good
that's
times.
life. That's good. Yeah, exactly. That's just life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's life. I mean, 100 years ago, it was, well, did we get to the market in time to get bread?
Yeah, and
Today,
today it's
it's, well, did we get the scripts sorted out so that everything's working the way it should?
and the answer is eventually. It was more.
Eventually.
We're lucky in as much as the guys that are using these labs are in Oz, so we've had today to troubleshoot what's gone weird, fix them, and get them back up to the point where the class can carry on from where they've left off. The script writing that we've been doing has been basically so we can build the modules in the lab up ahead for them. So when they log in, they won't have to spend quite a bit of time going through some of the lab steps. So they'll get to a point which is closer to where they are now in terms of what for the trainers taking them to. So all
Nice.
good fun. All good fun. My colleague is a superb coder. I am not. But I'm happy. I can copy the scripts into places. I can double click on things. I can troubleshoot and tell you whatever messages come up. Then you tell me what's changed to fix it. And then that's fine. And so we, between the two of us, we can get it going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a skill that you can hone over time where even if you're not a coder, you understand the code that you're reading. And so you can tell what it's supposed to do. You can tell where there's problems. Sometimes you can even fix some things, but you also know what to copy and paste to add in to make your own code.
Yeah, I'm kind of at that level. I'm not from a blank sheet, start working a script out, no, but I can take someone else's and tweak it to make it work. I can, like I've been doing today, going, it stopped here. I've no idea what that's calling that. Where's it getting that from? And then we can work it out. So I understand enough to be a code bit reading. Oh, that's a variable, right? Where is it pulling that bit of information from? Okay, I can test that. Why isn't that coming back with the answer it's hoping to find in that box to complete this command? And I can kind of do those things, but I'm not a script kiddie coder. I'd like to. There's quite a nice tutorial if anyone's ever interested on the Python website to teach yourself to code Python. And I had a little thought, that's quite good. I might take the time to sit and work that. That's an afternoon project at some point somewhere. Definitely out of those kind of projects. We're like, yeah, maybe I will. In much the same way that what we said we'd talk about today is very much on those lines. If he segues nicely into something.
Yes.
How's your week
well
been,
done.
mate, by the way?
Hmm?
How's your week been, by the way, mate? Because we rarely ask you how you've had it, what sort of week you've had.
Well,
it has been jovial to us.
I learned a new phrase that I believe is Norwegian in origin, where someone says, how are you doing? And you say, I'm not crying and I'm standing up. And so I guess that's a good thing.
That counts, mate. That absolutely counts.
So
I can identify with a lot of that. I can identify with that. That is the thing, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, I am kind of confused about time right now, because it's no secret. I live in Boulder, Colorado. And so I'm used to just what historically has been the weather when you live butted up against the mountains, like so close that you can walk out your door, walk a few blocks, and now you're on a trail going up into mountains. And yet, here we are. It is October 3rd, 2024. The temperature has been in the from the mid 80s to the low 90s Fahrenheit
Is that
for
normal for this time of year for you
weeks.
guys?
This is not normal. It's
Oh.
beginning of October. It should be
Is it snowed
cooler
yet?
now. It's weird. And fall for us used to be a week or two, and like everything would be nice and warm, and then the trees would change real fast and all the leaves fall off, and that's it. And the last couple years we've had, I guess, what fall is for normal people, where it starts in September and it goes on for weeks.
It starts in
And
September, ends in October, November, depending on the year. You
yeah.
occasionally have that little bit of a change. Just depend. This year we've had some cold days, and now we've had some. We had a lovely bright sunny day. It's not been warm, but it's been lovely bright and sunny. And so, and the leaves are definitely on the are going orange now, and there's horse chestnuts on the floor as you walk along and stuff like that. So
Yeah. So I'm learning what real fall is.
yeah, that's nice then. That's nice, but we don't real fall isn't 90 degrees.
No, real fall isn't 90 degrees, and real fall in Colorado isn't actually multiple weeks. So it's weird, but it's what we have. So
That's what we
I guess
have,
I will
Jim.
adapt.
Indeed, indeed, my friend.
And you came up with a great idea for what we should talk about today.
Since it was only the two of us, I thought, well, I've been playing around with this thing for a while, and I think I poisoned your mind to have a go at it as well the other week because I was mentioning it on the show. We talked about Mint Linux, and really, this is an exercise in repurposing old hardware. I've got a number of old Mac laptops kicking around the house, and I've been using it as a test. It's a MacBook Air from God knows when, my daughter's cast off, and I use it as a test bed for different operating systems I fancy having a go with. And I had a go. I turned it into a Chromebook for a while, and that worked quite nicely, but it's a bit limiting because it's a Chromebook. And I've had Ubuntu, SUSE, KDE variations on it, and now most recently, I've come back to Mint again because I was talking about Mint before. It's one of the easiest, most adaptable, user-friendly. If you want to dip your toes in the Linux water and don't want to have too scary a time, Mint is ideal because their desktop has got a lot of the typical kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? The themes you'd expect from a Windows operating system. Star buttons down in the bottom left. You can put it up on the top if you want to, like a Mac. But you've got very similar sort of architecture. It's not like GNOME where they deliberately try and make things look different. You've got a much more smoother experience. So I installed it on this, and it was relatively trivial for me, at least, apart from needing a USB network card to get some drivers for the Wi-Fi. I don't know how you found yours. How did you find yours then? Because I saw you, because on Facebook I saw you'd posted a picture you were joining me in this experiment.
Well, okay, so yes, I blame you, and that's a good thing. So I have a 2013 14-inch MacBook Air that has only 4 gigs of RAM in it, and a 256, yeah. SSD.
I think there's one
I'm
of those
pretty
kicking around
sure.
here. There's one
So
of those kicking around here as well somewhere.
yeah, so not a beefy machine, but it works. It hasn't supported current versions of Mac OS for years,
Same deal with mine.
and most of the time it just sat around. And occasionally, like if I needed to mess with something from a really old version of Mac OS, like troubleshooting something, then I could wipe the machine, or use whatever was on it. It was fine for that, but really, it would just sit for months on end, unused. And it's old enough now that, I mean, I can't sell it because there's no value in it. I could give it away, but I'd have to find the right person so they could get some value out of it. And then I thought, you know, why don't we see what I can do with this thing? And you'd been talking about Mint Linux. So, yeah. I was fully prepared for this installation process to be frustrating and super annoying. And in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't. I think for the average person, you know, the kind of person that the everyday person that just buys a Mac or a Windows machine, and maybe they only use the software that's on it. Maybe they have other apps that they install. Doesn't matter, but they buy a pre-configured packaged computer and start running with it. I think for a lot of those people, this would have been a little bit confusing and a little bit intimidating. But for someone that's been using computers for a while, and maybe they've had to reinstall operating systems a few times, it wasn't that bad. I ended up having to download Etcher, which is an app that lets you take the images that you need to install Linux and burn them out to, well, in my case, a little USB thumb drive.
And if you're on Windows, there's another app called Rufus,
Okay.
Rufus. So if you're on Windows and you're planning, you want to have a go at the same thing we're doing, Rufus, Balina Etcher, that's run. I've got that on this Mac here. Both of those will take up the thing you download from Mint's called an ISO file. It's an image of a CD-ROM or a DVD-ROM in this case. And basically, all you do is you give it the file, you point it at an empty USB drive, an 8 gig one normally is good enough, and click a couple of buttons, wait 10 minutes or so, and you've got a USB stick ready to go. And you then have to work out how to boot your Mac. That's the other sort of ch vague challenge in terms of in Windows. Sometimes there's a case of hammering the keyboard to find a menu pop up. With a Mac, is it? It's all, isn't it, on the Mac to get
Op just the option key.
The option key to find the to see the a list of options, and you pick one that says Windows, weirdly, don't you, for this, and then it boots up off of it, if I remember correctly from when I did mine.
No, I don't think it said Windows.
Or EFI, maybe.
Yeah,
It
it
would be
was
something
like
like that, yeah.
EFI something.
You pick the one that doesn't say Mac OS boot drive or whatever your Mac OS boot drive is called, and
Right.
away it goes and boots up. If you're working with something like we are with an old MacBook Air, but it has really breathed life into what essentially was a bit of dead hardware. As you say, this old thing here would have otherwise been not worth a great deal to anyone because it's not fast enough for modern Mac. You can go through the whole, and that's another geeky exercise of forcing a new version of Mac OS onto older hardware. There's ways and means, but that's again the world of pain and geekiness of a higher order. Or you can do as we've done and install a version of Linux. I mean, and this must be mine's just locked up because it's got good security. It's a completely usable computer. I've got a web browser, I've got an office suite. And the nice stuff here, did you discover the cloud options, the cloud accounts section?
I
So
don't
you can
even
add in OneDrive and things.
Oh, well, I did add in Dropbox,
Yeah, because if you
but I did that by installing the Dropbox app.
there's a thing on there called online accounts. I've just pulled it up because I needed to remember what it was called. And literally, you can log in with your OneDrive, and then you will have. I mean, I use OneDrive as my primary storage. You can use click that, put it in, and it will populate for you. And then you get a
That's
shortcut on
cool.
your desktop that will take you to your OneDrive, and you can get your photos, you can get your documents. just like that. And it's not, you're not looking at a web browser window either. You're using an Explorer-like file manager that looks remarkably like anything else you've ever used in terms of a file manager on a computer before. And that's brilliant. I mean, I used to, every time I tried to do this on other versions, I've always had to install various bits of apps from different places on GitHub. And again, you get into the realms of geekiness. Here, I've just had to fill in a box. This is why I'm quite enthusiastic about this, because this is the, and the control panel itself is a GNOME tool, but they've imported it into their version, and it's excellent. And but also here, there's things like Google, there's IMAP, there's all the things you want for things like setting up your email accounts and stuff. Email, I've just gone for a browser, but you were
I'm
trying one out, weren't
surprised
you?
at how complete the installation was. I mean, with what it offered.
Yeah.
After it finished doing the initial installation, and in my case, it even recognized that I had Wi-Fi in the
Yeah.
laptop, so I was able to log into my network. And then it could install more stuff by default because it was downloading stuff while it was doing the whole operating system install. And
It's clever stuff.
yeah, so when it was done, I had a computer that, like you said, it has a web browser, so it installs Firefox,
Yeah.
which didn't surprise me at all because that seems to be
Standard
the
FOSS
browser of
browser.
choice for Linux users. And apparently it installed Thunderbird, but it wasn't obvious to me it had installed Thunderbird. So
Yeah, I've got copy of Thunderbird on here, yeah.
yeah, so I figured that out later, but what I did, because I wanted to be able to check email on this computer,
Yeah.
I started doing the thing that you have to do when you're trying to find applications. And I started doing online searches, product reviews, and then eventually came across, I just forgot the name of the email app. It
Evolution.
Evolution.
That's the big that that's the that, that's the most Office Outlooky kind of like one that exists on there. It's really not a bad mail account from what I recall. I must admit, I've defaulted to using browsers for personal email for years now, and I don't really worry about a physical mail client anymore.
And for me, a physical mail client is just it's a thing that I don't want to go without. So
There's
yeah,
a
so I
choice.
installed Evolution. It works fine. And then I realized, okay, so this is a machine that, while I'm clearly not going to use it for podcasting or video audio production stuff at all, this is something that I could very easily write on. So
Yeah.
now I need a good writing tool that's not a fracking command line.
It's easy. There's one already installed, LibreOffice.
And I'm totally with you, but here's the thing. I don't want to use Office or an Office compatible app for what I'm just writing
There's
because
a
that
text
gets in the
editors
way.
galore. Text There's
Yeah.
text editors galore. If you're, for me, I mean, Atom's around still, Sublime Text is around still, and that's
Sublime
available.
is fantastic. I've used that before. And
I think
hold on,
that's
I'll
still in the
tell
store.
you what I ended up popping on here
I'm just going to look and see.
because
Sublime Text is still available. So I think it was last time I looked.
oh, it is. I mean, it's a very
Yeah,
popular
Sublime Text.
commercial
Yeah, Sublime's
product.
still there. Yeah, Sublime's still there.
Yep. And the only reason I didn't go with Sublime, and I'm familiar with Sublime and I've used it before, but the only reason I didn't go with it is because once the trial's over, it's $99 a year, and
Yeah.
I'm not going to use it enough to justify that. What was the app that Kate?
Oh, yes, a very, very simple, easy to
That's
use
what I need
text
for
editor.
writing. And so I installed Kate. I installed one password, so I can do all of my password management just like I do on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. And let's see, what else did I install? Where it's like, oh yeah, that was like actually really important. Oh, not a thing I installed, but I was quite surprised that Mint Linux recognizes that I have a backlit keyboard and will let me control the brightness on the keyboard.
Yeah,
Now,
completely.
unlike Mac OS, it won't do ambient light sensing. So while I control the brightness on the keyboard, I can't have it automatically turn on and off. But still, I mean, the fact that I can have my backlit keyboard in place.
You've reminded me it works on this, and I've just turned it up. Yeah.
Yeah, and it recognizes the function keys for
Out of the
controlling
box, I mean,
brightness.
okay, and did I don't know if you noticed that when you chose your keyboard, you could choose a Mac keyboard, because there's a part of the installer. One of the options is US, and then there's the cranky weird ones that some people use that the rest of the normal public they wouldn't even think about. And then they'll say there's Mac, there's international, there's Mac, so you can
I
click
didn't
on
even
Mac,
see
and
that. I just.
so there's a Mac layout, so it knows what the soup, so it knows the command key exists, and that maps itself to what on Linux, they call the super key or Windows key in Windows. It's so when you
Okay.
hit the Windows
So
key,
I
it
need to
pops
go and
up the.
change my settings so that I can have like full control over the keyboard.
Yeah, if you do keyboard, I think if you do keyboard in there, you can just tell it. I'm sure it's not layouts. There you go, keyboard
So
layouts.
adding a printer, I was able to do that.
Yeah. It sees
And
mine, my Canon that sits over there on the Wi-Fi, it sees that perfectly happy.
yeah.
You know, it's really, really impressive for what it is. It's in the thing to kind of get sort of across in your mind is from the days of Windows, for a lot of folk, you need something to get on the internet with, something to be able to open Word document with, and maybe something to send emails. And for most of the things you're going to do in a web browser, you don't need to install anything more. It's already on here for the most part. You just click on the start menu and look, and they sort it out in a really nice way. And so you can find things that says Office, and there's a load of options for you there. And you can have a little look at that. Calc is like an Excel thing. Under programming, you can find some other apps. I've just installed Kate on there, and then Nginx as well. It's another one of those kind of things. There's Celluloid for playing videos. There's a tool called Rhythmbox for music. So you've got things to play MP3s. You can install stuff. Spotify is, by the way, for those that want things like that. If you go to the there's a Play Store or Software Manager, as it's called over here. And for sort of the general things that normal people will want, Spotify's there. Straightforward and easy to install. Audacity for doing music editing. There's a whole ton of stuff that you can just pick out and go, okay, that's fine. And all this software is free to use for the most part.
Which, I mean, on one
And
hand, it's cool. On the other hand, if you think free means totally free, you need to reconsider how you're looking at the software that you use. Free means
yes.
you can download it and use it, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't take resources for the developers to make this happen. So consider making donations to the developers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just learned something interesting.
Yeah.
Being able to have the English Mac keyboard. That's a
Yeah.
UK only.
Is it?
Yeah, for US keyboards, there is not a Mac option.
Maybe then that yours is already sorted then, and it's only on for the UK one because the layout's a little bit different because we've got our bigger enter key and things like that.
Yeah, so that could be.
It could be that, but there we go. I saw that. Oh, that's excellent. Click, 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 and I'm up and running. And it's this version is I'm quite. And I mean, I'm looking on the front page of the software manager. There's a WhatsApp client, Google Earth, Discord client. They're all there. You really don't need to worry about
Oh yeah,
sort of most
I
things. And there's a whole ton of categories. Things I use like Obsidian is here. There are Frikita, which is a really nice painting editor type tool. That's well worth a little play around with. There is fantastic stuff for the basics of getting around a computer. You can install Edge, you just need to go to Microsoft's website and run a couple of lines. You do have to go to the terminal for that one a little bit. But it's
I
not too
should try
onerous.
doing that
It's not too
because,
onerous. If you want Edge, it's not too onerous. They have Brave as well. That's in the Brave browsers in the software manager already. Edge is not, but you can get Edge from Microsoft directly. You just need to go and Google it. Google that and you'll find it. It's easy enough. And I'm genuinely impressed. One thing I did look for, because that's now become an intrinsic part of my workflow, is some sort of launcher tool. So I use Spotlight or Raycast on a Mac, and I use PowerToys Run on Windows. So I can press a shortcut key, which is normally something like Alt and Spacebar or Control and Spacebar, and it pops me up a search and I can nicely type in things I'm looking for. U Launcher is the same thing over on the on Linux, and that's superb. I was
Find
it's
a link for that and throw it in the chat.
I'm gonna do that just now.
So my overall experience with this, and now granted, I've been playing with Linux for what, like a week now. So I don't have a ton of experience with this version of Linux. But I have been using Raspbian for a while
Oh,
because I have Raspberry Pis. So it's not like this is a new world for me. My takeaway is that I can do a lot,
you can incredible amount.
and I can't do everything I need to do. Well, I probably could, but I don't want to invest the time and headache into trying to turn a machine like this into a podcasting and live stream system because it wouldn't be able to handle it anyhow.
Oh no, equally I agree. Mine finds real great utility as a sofa machine. When my iPad, I'm old. Typing on a screen on an iPad or having one of those keyboard things is just not for me. I need a real keyboard. So, and if I don't want to be sat here at my desk and I want to be able to sit and write, this machine, I think, is a really great fit for that for me. I've got MarkText installed on here for note for writing Markdown, and that's about all I need. And I can get to my network and copy the files out, or I can upload to straight to one of the other places where it needs to go. And excellent. And for my sort of technical supporty things, I've got remote desktop tools that I can go and RDP into my servers, or I can SSH into my servers over here. It's really very really I'm quite interested to see how much of my actual daily work nowadays that I could probably find Mint would work for me for almost all of it, I think, which is crazy given that back in the time I was struggling to make Mac OS do things that were you'd do in a normal corporate IT. Well, now pretty much it does everything. And I think Linux has got there as well now, which is really cool. But Mint is. I'm continuing to be surprised by how, what's the word I want? Straightforward, easy to get into once you've got it installed. So, if you've got enough confidence to have a go at this sort of thing, and you've got an old computer you want to try and get back to life, this is a thing I'll stress and stress again. And what Jeff is finding is an old computer that didn't have any life left in it. Suddenly, it's a useful computer. You can give it to the kids to do homework on. You can have it. It can, I mean, I know they'll probably pull faces, but you've got something that you can sit on the sofa with and write a letter, print it out. You've got something you can jump onto a website. You can stream a couple of videos and plug headphones in and watch. It's all completely, my battery life is pretty decent. I've got 3 or 4 hours out of this at least. So that still works. When I shut the lid, it goes to sleep. When I open it up again, it opens up and wakes. All those things that, and the reason why I sound like this is the Nirvana of heaven, we say, but well, that my computer does that anyway. It's taken Mac OS the coders a long time to get to this point with working on a laptop, which is a different set of hardware because of all the things like making the keyboard do silly things, turning the screen on and off, and things that are different from a desktop computer. Your original box that sits under your desk is a much different and simpler machine to get something like a Linux running on, whereas a laptop is a bit more tricky. But now this has definitely got to the point where if you're relatively comfortable with it, it's a very, very easy thing to do.
It was surprisingly easy. That said, I do not think we are at a place where Linux can be a mainstream operating system for the average person, in the same way that Mac OS and Windows are today.
Yes, there are
And
still limitations.
yeah, like even something as saying as simple as using a printer, because printers are horrible evil voodoo, and
They're
the fact
evil.
that they work on any platform is shocking. But like getting this little Canon inkjet printer set up on what I'm calling my MintBook Air.
Yeah, that's a good name for it. I like that.
Well, for me, I understood everything I was seeing when I went to set up the printer. The average person would be like, and I'm out, because all they're
Yes.
seeing is this intimidating dialogue box with all of these options, and you're not sure what you're supposed to select. And when you select the right thing, it sure doesn't look like it. I think for the average person, it would either stop them dead in their tracks, or they would just start clicking and hoping for the best and end up with something that doesn't work, and then it's frustrating. And the initial setup, while it was straightforward for me, I think for the average person, it could be intimidating as well, because once you get through the initial setup and you have a network or internet connection, then it starts popping up all this stuff about, well, here's what we're finding in your computer. So here are the driver options. What do you want to
Yeah.
install? And for someone that knows what they're looking at, totally fine. For the average
Yeah.
person, I think that would be very intimidating and confusing, because they're not sure what they're supposed to choose. And then when it does the thing that you and I want, where then it pops up a dialogue and it says, hey, these are the things that are going to be added. And it gives you a laundry list of everything that's going to get thrown into the system and everywhere else. I could see where the average person would either not feel comfortable with that, or they would misinterpret it and think they're supposed to select something from the list.
Yeah, I can see what you mean there. I mean, it's one of those things where I think with setting these things up, it's with a lot of them, when you get software selection, just say next. Just agree to whatever you're being given to start off with, because it's so easy to add it afterwards to get yourself to a working system and then kind of learn from there. I've dropped an article in the chat about how to use their software center, the software manager, because once you get. And the other good thing about Linux is there's a whole heap of people out there that have worked with these various tools and are writing articles online about it. So working out how to do a Mint install, there's going to be a lot of YouTube videos and there'll be some guides as well that you can follow. OMG Ubuntu, it's FOSS, FOSS Linux, and there's a couple of other places all have TechMint is another one I like. They all have really good tutorials that you can follow step by step to understand what you're doing right from the beginner through to some sort of fairly techie things that I've, how do I do that? And there's been an article and a guide that I've been able to piece together, like we were talking about at the start of the show, to get somewhere to have something working. And that, and so it's, there is less of the classic RTFM brigade. It's still kicking around this end of the Linux world. I like to see actually, you know, it does seem a lot friendlier than it was 10 years ago,
Oh,
5 years ago,
absolutely.
even.
Yeah. Yes, I agree completely. 10 years ago, to do what I did over the course of, honestly, even with going out and finding different apps that I needed to install for specific things that I wanted to do, we're talking an hour, 2 hours of time.
Yeah, completely.
Whereas to do this 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish everything. Most of it would have been spent at a command line. And when everything was said and done, I would then have a machine where I can say, this is a really cool experiment. And that's it. But now I have a machine that if I want to, say, go to the coffee shop and not
Yeah.
take my MacBook Pro and take the MintBook Air instead, just
Yeah.
because I can do that. And then I could
Yeah.
write, for a client project, it saves to Dropbox. It'll be just a text file. So when I get back to my Mac and I open up BBEdit, I can open the same file and keep working.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
yeah, that's not something we could have done 10 years ago.
Completely, completely. There is so much utility in some of these things now that has made. I mean, I know I remember the day where what I would do was you'd get CDs with Linux on them and you'd install on a machine on an old spare machine you had in the house. Go, well, now what? The fun was getting it working, and then you were left with it. Well, now what? And then you had to still put Windows back on. But now it's very much a case of they are incredibly useful. This little thing is going to stay now, I think, on Mint for the most part, because it's a helpful little computer that can sit in the corner of that can sit in the corner of the by the couch. I can pull it out when I need it for something, log into a web account, do a couple of things, send a couple of emails, drop it back there again, and it serves a really useful purpose. And I've got and the important side of things here from why well, we might argue, well, why not just use the old Mac, Ian? I've got fully up-to-date browser with all security patches on it. I've got a fully up-to-date operating system with all the security patches on it. My computer is safe. It's not invulnerable from viruses, but very close. There's an AV client you can put on if you feel the need. There's a firewall on the machine. I can encrypt the drive so I can make the drive completely safe. It could be a good, almost disposable computer to take to the coffee shop, and if someone steals it, well, hey ho, it doesn't matter. You know, there's a lot of interesting utility in these things now that we never had before. And it is definitely, I think we are, you're right, we're not there yet, that Joe Public could pick one up, log themselves in, get set up. But for us in the edge, the us, I mean, I'm an Uber techie, so I'm probably not the best example. But if you're technically competent, you fancy a go, and you've got a spare computer, do give
You
it a
can
try.
do it.
It's. Yeah, do
Yeah.
give it a try. You'd agree, wouldn't you, Jeff, that if you've enough confidence to have a little play and you don't mind Googling a little if you find yourself a little bit stuck, it's an
Yes.
interesting exercise, and you could find an old computer that's gathering dust in the back of the office now is a handy little computer for things you do. Those, I mean, I know a lot of guys still use, oh, what were they? Asus made those tiny little, they were really popular about 5, 10 years ago, they must be now, little tiny Asus EPCs. They were
Oh, yeah.
a laptop that was about yay big. And those are still going strong with a lot of folk. Again, they're running Linux on them because it still runs quite cheerfully. And it's a nice, handy computer. They can write on it, do whatever they need it, throw it in a bag and it goes with them. And I'm becoming something of a Linux evangelist. This is scary.
Yes, and on one level, this is unexpected. On another level, considering what we can do now with installs or builds that are significantly more user-friendly, like Linux Mint,
And this is not the only one. There are half a dozen other more that you can have a play with. Mint is probably the most polished, in my opinion, but there are others you could equally, with a few clicks and half an hour's worth of downloading and a bit of messing around, probably have a working system. But I do think this is probably the most usable of any I've played with up to now, really. And the integration is, for me, one of the big things that I can get to a lot of the online services I use.
Yes.
That's the big change, I think, of anything for me, that I've now got
Yeah,
that
being able to hook into
integration.
those cloud services,
Yeah.
that's a big deal. And for me, once I had this up and running, I had Dropbox connected to my account. I had 1Password installed. I had found Kate so that I have a tool for just writing. And then I had installed what was it? Evolution? Is
Yeah,
that
the mail client.
the
How'd
email
you find
client?
that, by the way? What'd you think?
It's I like it. Here's the thing. I feel like I'm using a computer from the 1990s.
I thought you might. Any mail client I've used has always been a little bit still. You might as well have a brown, you might as well be using a terminal and mutt, to be honest. I mean, and that's, the sort of thing
Yeah,
it is
and I
very,
even
very.
had a couple recommendations to use a command line email clients, and I thought, well, that could be interesting, but the point of this experiment was to not have to use the terminal or
Absolutely.
command line, and so
And you
far I have
can.
not needed to do that. Which I'm finding surprising. But yeah, it's not just the email client interface. It's Kate's interface, and it's like down the line, all the different applications that I'm using, and the interface in general doesn't feel modern. And just to be clear, that's not a dig on Mint. This is just how these interfaces look in Linux apps.
Yeah,
And I can see where something like Kate, which is just a good text editor, and sure, you can do code in it too, but just as a text editor, it's great. You launch it the first time, and if you don't understand what you're looking at, it's a kind of interface where you would look at it and be like, I need to find a different app because this already looks way too complicated. And that's a problem that I'm seeing in general with a lot of Linux apps, which is one of the reasons why I'm saying for people like us, this is okay for people that want to be able to buy a computer, open it up, and actually just start using it right away. The average person, a Mac or a Windows machine, is still the better choice.
It's the thing, isn't it, where I feel what that the problem there is, it's most of these things are developed for free by some guy who needs a tool to do a thing. And they don't have the money to pay for a UI person that knows how to make things look nice or modern. So they'll go with, has to be all right, it works. And that can be its downfall to some extent. I'm working with my colleague who we're now looking at one of the alternative hypervisors after problems with VMware. That a lot of our customers now are moving over to. And it's nowhere near as, it's very, very good, but nowhere near as polished as VMware. And it's that same thing. And I'm trying to explain to my colleague who's a VMware guy through and through, you won't get it because it's a couple of guys in their shed that have started this thing. It's going to be rough around the edges. We can't, it won't get there yet. And enterprise won't, yes, I know, but they'll have to. If they don't want to pay 10 times their original renewals to VMware, they're going to find something else. And if there's a learning curve involved, which takes me on to another kind of topic that worth touching on. So if you're out there listening to this, you're wanting to get into IT or want to think about working in IT now in 2024 and beyond, Linux is definitely one of those emerging technologies that you really should have some handle on. So setting up a laptop with Linux on it, you've got a command line you can play with and learn the commands. Superb.
Yeah, it is
Absolutely.
great for that.
You've got something to get you to get your foot in the door to play around with, break it and fix it again, break it and fix it again. But you've got something you can start with, and those skills will stand you in very good stead now for the modern IT world. A lot of the infrastructure now is moving away from classically Microsoft things to things that are based around, particularly in the Docker and the container world, very much Unix systems are more and more there. So that's really interesting. And these kind of things help because you get exposure to it and it doesn't become scary. It's just, oh, yeah, I know about that. Or I've seen that before. And that helps. I teach classes on Linux to my engineers. So it's one of those things I've got used to being of, yeah, no, it's really good now, honest.
Hey, you know what else is really good? TSO
No,
host.
tell me. Ah, yes.
TSO host.
Yeah.
Yep. And what makes TSO host so great? Well, this is a multi-prong thing. The first prong is their web hosting, their support for buying domain names, their support in general. And then the other prong is their generosity and their desire to give back to the community. So how do these things come together? Well, they come together through us because TSO host is taking the things that they do and they're giving them to us here at the British Tech Network so we can do what we do. So they're giving us the bandwidth to live stream shows every single week. They're giving us the hosting space, so there's a place for the website to live. They're giving us the server storage so that we have a place for all the show files to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. Everything that they're doing is so critical for us because the resources that it takes to do all of this, it's more than we would be able to pull together on our own. So because of their incredible generosity, we're able to be here bringing you live shows multiple times a week and then have all the podcast, video, and audio recordings waiting for you. So that if you can't tune in live, you can still be part of the show. So we really, really appreciate what TSO Host is doing. And thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. Now, what you can do to let TSO Hosts know that you appreciate them is just hop on to social media. And give them a thanks for being here and supporting us. So super easy to do. Just go ahead and do it and let them know that you appreciate that they're here helping us. If by chance you have a domain name you want to buy, why not use them because they do have good pricing. And when you get to checkout, you can throw the discount code BTN20 into your cart, and you get an extra 20% off. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And here is typically where I would turn to Patrice and say, "Hey, Patrice, you've done such an amazing job of updating and modernizing our live stream and live chat system. Why don't you tell people how the live chat works?" But she's not here, so this is a testament to how great everything is that she has done, because I'm going to tell you about the live chat and probably not sound like a complete idiot when I do it. All right, so here we go. The live chat. If you want to participate and interact with us in real time when we're recording the show, and you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com so you can see the show, there's a chat that just pops up with that. And then you can interact with us. It gives you kind of funky names like right now, Determined Schwartz and Goth Disc are in the chat. And that's probably not their real names, because it looks like the sort of names that get generated randomly. So purple button up in the corner, click on that, and then you can change your name to whatever you want it to be. And so in my case, it says Jeff. All right, let's say though that you are watching or listening to the show later, and you want to see the links and the conversation from the chat. For example, some of the applications Ian and I have been talking about today, we have links for those in the chat. How do you get to that? So for that, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and you'll see this cool calendar there, and click on the date for the show. So today, that's October 3rd, 2024. And then you'll see the record of everything that was said in the chat. And there you go. So now you can still get to all the links and everything without having to be here live, because, hey, not everyone can tune in live. Totally get it. All right. So there you go. That's how the live chat works. And Ian, I'm totally prepared for you to tell me, no, I sounded like an idiot. But did I sound like an idiot?
No, man, you got that right. I
See,
was I was
that's.
worrying you were going to ask me, and I was hoping I wouldn't sound like an idiot doing it too. But no, you've got it right. You'll see all the links that I've been throwing in as Jeff has been chatting, a load of the links I mentioned for tutorial sites, how to make a disk, those kind of things. It's worth going to Linux Mint's website. So good places to start if you want to join us on the Linux journey.
Yeah. So, hey, Patrice, thanks for putting in all the hard work to make this modern and so much easier for everyone.
And
And
guys, this all runs on Linux.
yeah, it does. Yeah.
All this magic runs on Linux.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, so Ian, it's just us. Do you have a cool thing for today?
Yeah, come on, these monitor. I've been using these monitor headphones for a while. I'll just need to chase up the URL, but I've ordered another pair. And there were a recommendation actually from Patrice. And they're actually really quite good. And no, I don't want Amazon.com. That's for Americans. Right. So let's see if I can.
Yeah, you can tell it's for Americans, because right next to Amazon, there's a fast food restaurant. Right next to that, there's a donut shop.
Pretty much. Well, there we go. And they're in the chat now. There they are. They're made by some alphabet manufacturer of you've never heard the name you've never heard of, but they're over here in kind of monitor headphones. I've got one set that I bought for this that Patrice recommended me, and I got it plugged into my Mac. They work really well, dead simple, and they hook over your ears so they stay in. And I've just bought another pair for my work computer because that's actually better than the headset I use. So I'm going to use that. One bit of advice, Jeff. Would you plug those into the back of the mic, or would you go through the PC instead, which would be better? Because I don't know these kind of things. I plug it into the jack on the docking station I have.
All right, if I want to hear the audio from me, if I want to monitor me,
Yeah.
then I can plug in directly to the mic and I'll hear exactly what the mic is hearing. What I do, however, is plug into my dock, because I'm using Audio Hijack and I want to be able to monitor myself, everyone else, and any other audio that I might drop live into a show. And for me to be able to do that the way that I need, I plug into the dock instead.
Cool. So the dock is probably the best idea, which is why I've got an extension cable and bits coming that will make these a bit more so that there's not huge amount of cable on them, but there's enough. And it says noise cancelling on the listing. Don't believe a word of that. Be
Well,
realistic for what you're buying for 20 quid. They're not expensive, so
right. Yeah, £17.49. And yeah, I would not expect noise canceling, or if there is noise canceling, I wouldn't expect quality noise canceling.
There's a whole bunch of them in different colors as well. So there's a whole you can get with or without mic, and there's a whole bunch. I just ordered a set with a mic, and there's a whole bunch of colors. So you feel
Nice.
a bit more trendy there. But they are for classic old school listening with a 3.5 mil jack on the end. They're very, very good. There's no bass corruption or anything. They are just the sound is the sound. That's something that's taken a bit of getting used to for me, is not having anything messing with the audio. Like if you buy a set of Dr. Dre or whatever it is, Dr. You know, those kind of beats, and those they tend to amp up the bass, and they clean up a lot of the audio. You don't get that with these. This is the pure sound, which is a bit different. And then you need to tinker a little bit with your audio on your computer sometimes. But otherwise, no, I'm impressed. They've been comfortable today.
Nice. All right. Well, then I guess it's my turn. And so
This week in Lego with Jeff.
that was last week, and I thought I'd mix it up in honor of our topic today. And I'm picking an old laptop. So in my case, this is a 2013 MacBook Air with a Core i7 Intel processor in it. And that's what I'm running Mint Linux on. Only 4 gigs of RAM, 256 gig SSD, and it totally works. So
Absolutely.
that so my cool thing is that old computer that's sitting in the back of your closet that you can repurpose into a Linux machine, either just to play around or to have a portable computer that you didn't have to actually spend any extra money to go get.
Exactly. They are surprisingly good for very, very little. And yeah, if you have one kicking around the house, or you can pick one up for not very much money, they are a good machine for this very purpose that we're talking about. And you're buying reliable, good hardware as well. That's the other thing when you're buying older laptops. An old Mac is still good hardware.
Yeah,
So
this
yeah,
is an 11-year-old computer, and
I forget
except
what
for
on
the fact
mine
that the
is.
battery doesn't last nearly as long as it used to, it's a great little machine.
Yeah, I think mine might be the next year's model on the 2024, the 2014 one or 2015 one. But it's, I mean, but that, I mean, can you play YouTube video back on the browser all right without stuttering? I'm sure you can't you?
I haven't tried yet, but
Because
I
that's another thing
probably can.
sometimes. I mean, so you've got a perfectly usable device for, as I say, sort of general use. I'm becoming an evangelist here, but yes.
And I did put VLC player on here.
Do it's
And
worthwhile.
yeah, and it works great.
Exactly. But
All
these
right.
things are.
Ian, even with just two of us for a show today, we still managed to fill a whole hour. And we only had one
Hey.
topic.
Dream team. Dream team. That's
There
what
you
it is.
go.
It's the dream team.
Dream team. All right. Well, Mr. Dream Team, where can people find you?
People can find me in the Slack room. Turbo, if you've got questions about Linux, find me a question. I'll try and answer, or I'll send you a link. If not, I'm found on LinkedIn. I work for Veeam. And another thing, there's a really great backup tool built into into Linux Mint that takes a time shift of the machine, so you can roll it back if it goes wrong. What's not to love?
Right. And now you have me thinking, because I use Blaze, or not Blaze, Backblaze.
Backblaze,
Because I'm an individual user, I'm not an enterprise user. So Veeam is like
We're
light
an
years
enterprise.
beyond what I can use. I should See about adding my MintBook Air to my Backblaze
Yeah.
account, and then I can back that thing up too.
Yeah, have a look at a thing called Time Shift. It's on the machine right now, and that will take a snapshot of the hard
Oh,
drive.
yes, I have Time Shift turned on.
Yeah. There you go. You've got ability to roll back. So fab. And just I'm just gonna say it and it will just set me up now because I just remembered I hadn't turned it on. So
Yeah, I
yeah,
turned it on right
fantastic.
away,
Yeah.
along with the firewall.
Yeah, because they actually, I mean, another good thing I didn't mention is they actually prompt you. There's a series of tasks they say you should do when you get set up, and things are turn a firewall on, set up the backups. It is, I continue to be very impressed with well thought out systems.
Yes, and I'm feeling like Mint Linux is very well thought out. And I'm impressed. All right. So
Brilliant.
with that, Ian, thank you for coming up with such a fun idea for a topic today, since it was just the two of us. And I have to say, it's always a treat when we get to hang out. So I'm
Yeah,
glad
good
we got
friends
to
and
be
good
here today
times.
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as long as I'm dishing out my thank yous, which I enjoy doing. Hey, everyone that has tuned in, joined us live, thank you for being here and being part of the show. And all of you that have been in the live chat, hey, thank you for participating with us there. All of you rock. And everyone that watches or listens to the show later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. I'm so glad all of you are here, whether it's in real time or time shifted. I don't care. I'm just happy you're all here. And speaking of people that make me happy, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for
Indeed.
making sure we have people for shows. Hey, TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And hey, so tomorrow is the Mac show. So be sure to tune in and join us for that. And then next Thursday, come back and join us again for the big show, followed every Friday, as usual, by the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.